Good afternoon and hello. My name is Susie Baker and I'm a drafter at the University of Northern Iowa and a member of Ask Me Iowa Council 61. I'm here today along with fellow Ask Me members in cities across the state to speak out against Governor Branstad's double standards. Our governor has handed out bonuses and recruitment bonuses worth tens of thousands of dollars to his political appointees to get around Iowa laws which have already established pay limits. At the same time, he has attacked middle-class state employees like me who take pride in our work and serve the people of Iowa honorably. To speak more about this double standard and how Ask Me members serve our state, I would like to introduce Danny Homan, president of Ask Me Iowa Council 61.
Thanks, Susie. Hi, as Susie said, my name is Danny Homan. I'm president of Ask Me Iowa Council 61, and I've had the privilege of being president of this organization for the last 7.5 years. State employees are your neighbors. They work hard to provide your communities with important services that make Iowa a better place to live, work, and to raise a family. Ask Me members take pride in our communities. They do their jobs well. They keep prison inmates locked up, our kids protected from harm, our veterans and most vulnerable Iowans cared for, and our roads safe. They help unemployed Iowans find jobs and provide quality services to our public universities and students. Most recently, we saw how effectively public service workers do their jobs during the statewide blizzard we had in December. Tomorrow, Ask Me members will begin working with Governor Branstad to determine how effectively we can continue keeping our neighborhoods safe, healthy, and strong. But unfortunately, our governor has chosen to vilify and attack us in order to score political points. We stand here today across the state, united, because our governor has created a double standard. He pays massive bonuses to his department directors while demanding that middle-class state employees take major concessions. Some of the bonuses given out by the governor exceed what many state employees make in a year. Let's be clear. No one, and I mean no one, recognizes the economic hardship of Iowans more than we do. We are on the front lines making sure that struggling Iowans can make it through these tough times. That is why when Iowa was in the depths of the recession, state employees stepped up and made big sacrifices in pay and benefits to save jobs and assist our state. Today, the state has a surplus and reserves over $1 billion, partly because of the sacrifices made by state employees. And we received some more good news Wednesday. State tax collections are up 9.1% compared to this same six-month period a year ago. But the governor continues to demonize public service workers while he rewards his friends and cronies. For example, Branstad has paid massive bonuses to the Iowa Department of Revenue Director Courtney K. Decker, nearly $21,000 in additional pay. He has given the Department of Public Safety Commissioner K. Brian London over $16,000 as a recruitment bonus. Debbie Durham, Iowa's Economic Development Director, has received $30,000 bonus each year for the last three fiscal years. And Paul Trambino III, the Director of the Iowa Department of Transportation, received more than $30,000 in moving expenses. And these are just the examples that we've been made aware of. I have one question I'd like to ask Governor Branstad. Who else has received these bonuses or these reimbursements that we don't know about? In addition, many appointed directors who didn't receive the bonuses or other incentives to boost their pay instead received a 4% across-the-board increase in pay, according to a recent story in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. But Branstad's hypocrisy doesn't end there. He is also proposing huge tax breaks for major corporations. He's even promised an Egyptian company $648,000 in state tax correction and state tax credits for each permanent job they create. He has also paid a consultant a six-figure fee for bogus studies about state employees' pay and benefits. For those other 20,000 employees represented by AFSCME, he's asking for wage freezes, reduction in health coverage, and increased insurance premium payments. We believe Iowans deserve an honest, open, and scandal-free government. They deserve leaders who are fair and don't create double standards between political appointees and the middle-class Iowans who work in our prisons, public universities, state offices, mental health institutes, and on our roads and in our hospitals. In conclusion, we stand ready to work with the governor in the coming days, but we will not stand for further cuts to Iowa cities, towns, and neighborhoods while wasting state surpluses on lavish bonuses to appointed cronies or tax giveaways to out-of-state corporations. Across the state, the 20,000 state employees represented by AFSCME are united, and we will remain strong and determined to hold the Branstad administration to the principles of fair and equitable collective bargaining in the days and weeks ahead. Thank you, and I'll answer any questions you may have.
Do you feel as if you're headed to arbitration?
I'm going to continue with my statement, Kay. I'm going to work as hard as I can to reach a voluntary settlement. We are starting the negotiation process tomorrow. Where that process takes us is, I believe, up to the governor of this state. I believe our committee is willing to work with him to reach a voluntary settlement. I guess where we end up is going to be laid directly at the feet of the governor of this state. Yes?
I think that same Gazette article pointed out other governors have done the same thing regarding bonuses. Is this governor doing anything different than previous governors in the state?
Yeah, I believe he is. Chuck Culver ended the practice of giving out bonuses. Tom Vilsack did do it and was criticized for doing it. I don't hear that same criticism coming from anybody other than us and other organizations like us. So, yeah, we believe it has started up, and I believe it's accelerated. You take Debbie Durham, for example. She got a $30,000 bonus day one on the job. At least the previous governors waited till they had done something for the state before they gave them a bonus. She got one walking in the door. The other individuals all got these bonuses when they were hired. The theory behind the bonuses in the past has been a reward for providing exceptional services to the state of Iowa. Well, I would at least think you'd have to work here before you got that bonus. And these folks haven't, many of them.
What do you say to the governor's comments that the you need to pay their fair share in terms of health care compared to...
We are.
So can you describe what exactly...
Okay, that's fine.
What do you guys have that you think is fair? How would you characterize them?
You can't bargain in a vacuum, and that's what this governor wants us to do. We've been bargaining health insurance and wages for over 33 years. We have given up pay increases. We have modified our plans over those 33 years to get to where we are today. So this governor, and I want to point out that a lot of that bargaining was done during Terry Branstad's first term. Now he wants to trash everything we have done and say, well, you just give it up. And you also give up the wages and the other benefits you gave up to get to where you're at. And because I'm now the governor again, we're gonna trash that system. No, we're not giving up 33 years of bargaining history. Many of our employees pay 85% of their premium. So 80 or 15% of their premium. But it's not just the premium. He's trying to take a health insurance plan with a modest out-of-pocket and put in a $5,000 out-of-pocket. We're not talking about tweaks and modest changes. We're talking about radical gutting the state employee's health insurance plan.
What's the average salary for an
ASME member? An ASME member? Yeah, probably our average salary is somewhere probably in the neighborhood of $40,000.
This would be a hardship.
This is going to be a huge hardship. You take a single mother, three kids, working as a custodian somewhere here in Des Moines, we're talking about a major hardship. Would you like to have a plan that you had to pay $5,000 before the 100% kicked in? It's going to bankrupt people, okay?
What's the objective of this press conference, the five or six that are going on simultaneously here? It would seem to... Going into the negotiations, this would seem to make it more difficult maybe to find.
Well, the objective of today's news conference is to this organization has basically become fed up with seeing this governor pass out state dollars to corporations and his appointed directors in violation of the law, we believe. And we didn't start this story. I believe this story was broke first by the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And it is just continued to mushroom. And so we're calling him on the carpet for it, okay? Bargaining is bargaining. I'm not here to talk about bargaining, okay? I'm not gonna tell you what my plans are for tomorrow or the next weekend or the weekend after that or the weekend after that or the weekend after that. But we're calling attention to this governor who is attacking state employees and saying, you have to pay more, you have to freeze your wages, but I'm going to give state money to some corporation from Egypt to come in here and create jobs. Or we're going to give Walmart a tax cut. It's not fair. These are hardworking, middle-class citizens of this state that go to work every day and put their life on the line. Correctional officers that go inside a prison that is grossly understaffed, not knowing whether they'll come out the same way they went in. DOT equipment operators who went out on these roads right out here in front of this building and worked during a blizzard when nobody should have been out. Even the governor acknowledged nobody should be out because he closed state offices till noon. All right? But our members, the members of the Polk County Secondary Road crew, other public sector workers all across this state were out there plowing those roads and that crap so that all of us could get in our cars and go somewhere we really didn't need to go for that day. But that's what public workers do every day. And that's what the state workers in this state do every day. And this governor keeps attacking them and asking them to give up more. It's over. Okay? From our perspective, it's over. This state has got a $1 billion surplus. You know, health insurance premiums went down over 6% in this state. There's no reason for the change other than Terry Branstad wants to demonize and attack state workers. I hope that answered your question.
Is there a feeling, you've said along this process that the governor has tried to demonize state employees. Has he sort of got the leg up on this PR battle? Is that what you're trying to combat today? You're trying to level the playing field in that regard as far as the message?
Rod, this governor has been demonizing state workers since before he was elected governor. He campaigned on going after state workers' pay and benefits. I believe we have been very vocal about that process. The reason I'm doing six press conferences across the state is because, unfortunately, when I speak in Des Moines, it doesn't always get up to Mason City, or it doesn't get over to Davenport. It doesn't get to Cedar Rapids. So I have five other negotiating committee members out doing the same press conference like this today. So that's what we're trying to do. Make sure that we're getting our message out that we are not the enemy. Okay? We didn't, you know, it's just unfair for him to continue to go after state workers, with his attacks of trying to take something away from them. Just, it's not fair. While he's handing out goodies to his management people.
If there's a 4% across the board pay raise on that end, do you feel like maybe you lowballed your position coming?
No. This union made a fair and reasonable proposal. I will point out, we offered this governor half of what we offered Governor Culver 2 years ago. We recognize the situation the state is in. And again, it's an effort that we don't want our health insurance touched. So we said we'll take less money, leave our health insurance alone. At the time we made that proposal, we were unaware of that health insurance rates that go down in this state almost 7%. But we're living by our proposal. Our initial proposal is our initial proposal. We gave a fair and reasonable proposal to this state and to the citizens of this state for the services that my members perform.
Danny, right. I know you can't predict the future, but I mean, do you see Iowa headed down a similar path as Wisconsin? Are you feeling that we could be headed that same direction?
Well, to be very candid, I don't believe we're headed down that path for 2 years, because Senator Gronstall in the Senate doesn't want what happened in Wisconsin. What happened in Wisconsin is a crime. It was a total attack on hardworking Wisconsin folks that do the same stuff that our members do here. So I don't believe it's gonna happen for 2 years. And if it does happen, shame on the folks that let it happen. People ought to have the right to sit down at the table and have a discussion with their boss about the terms and conditions of their employment. Pure and simple. So if it does happen someday, shame on this state for letting it happen. But I don't believe it's going to happen for 2 years. Yeah. And I'm going to work very hard to make sure that it never happens, as long as I sit in the office that I sit in.
Can you just kind of explain the schedule and the time frame for the negotiations here? What is scheduled and what's the deadline for?
We will enter bargaining. We start bargaining with the state tomorrow. Those are closed session negotiations. We're scheduled to bargain the month of January every Saturday and Sunday. If we need to go to arbitration, because we have to schedule that beforehand, we are scheduled to go to arbitration the week, sometime during the week of February 11th. The arbitrator has to issue a decision on or before March 1st of this year. So if it is unfortunate for us to go down that road, we will have a decision no later than March 1st of this year.
Have many previous contracts ended up in arbitration?
No, two. We arbitrated in 1991 against Terry Branstad, and in that arbitration we won the wage issue and he won the health insurance issue. And we arbitrated once against Governor Ray.
When was that?
Oh, a long time ago. Probably, if I'm going to guess, it would have been in the 70s. The collective bargain, we started bargaining in 1977. So I believe it was either, I believe it was 81 or 83 that we took Governor Ray to arbitration. And the only issue with that arbitration was wages.
And how many members are you?
20,000. Actually, it's a couple hundred less than that. I checked the numbers just before I came out, but I don't have them today.
Have your numbers diminished much in the last?
Yes. This governor has bragged about eliminating 791 jobs. I believe state employment is at an all-time low as far as the number of employees. I can tell you that our institutions, both on the prison side and the DHS side, are grossly understaffed. And that's because this governor is not hiring or not allowing to hire employees to replace those employees that have either quit or retired. Yes?
You know, I remember when we had Governor Vilsack and Governor Culver as our governors, and I don't ever remember them demonizing state or public workers. And it seemed like they were always fair in their negotiations, and we were able to reach voluntary negotiations with them. What do you think has changed, or what's different between those two guys and the current governor that we have?
Well, I think you'd really have to ask him. I will give you my opinion for what it's worth. I think Terry Branstad has a severe dislike for this organization and for public employees as a whole because of our history with him. We took him to arbitration in 1991, and we ended up having to take him to court and to the Supreme Court because he refused to honor the final and binding award of the arbitrator. And he basically forced us to go to the Supreme Court. And quite frankly, a year and a half ago, this organization, I guess myself and five legislators, sued him over the illegal closings of the IWD offices. And that ended up going to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in our favor and said that he had violated the law and in the closing of those offices. So I think this is a vendetta, and that may be too strong a word, but I think this is an issue where this governor doesn't like this organization, and conversely, I don't believe he respects the work that state employees do.
These raises are a violation of state law. Are there any plans for union or
I know that I have read there are several legislators questioning whether what he has done has been a violation of the law. And I guess I will leave that up to the legislators of this state to see what they want to do. But, you know, they are clearly being paid more than what their pay grade allows them to be paid. And I can guarantee you that not anybody in my bargaining unit is paid more than what their pay grade allows them to be paid.
When does the current contract expire?
June 30th of this year.
And you'd be negotiating, what, a four-year deal? Or?
No, by law we can only negotiate a two-year deal. We're required to negotiate a two-year contract because I was legislature runs on a two-year cycle. So we have to bargain a two-year contract that goes in effect in odd number years.
A lot of negotiations.
I don't negotiate that many times with my own staff here in this building.
Is there something different this time? A lot of times the head of the Department of Administrative Services would be the lead negotiator for the state. This time they've hired Mr. Shearer, who first did an analysis that sort of threw into question some of the collective bargaining precepts, and it seemed like in his opening statement he wants to right what he thinks are wrongs through this bargaining process.
I believe that's a big difference. I've been an employee of this organization for 25 years as of December 1st. Of last year, and before that I was a member, and always in the past the director of the Iowa Department of Administrative Services negotiated the contract. When Tom Vilsack was elected, he decided to hire an outside firm that specialized in public sector bargaining, which was the Allers Law Firm. And Jim Hanks of the Allers Law Firm negotiated the four contracts when Tom Vilsack was governor, and he negotiated the two contracts when Chuck Culver was governor. The current individual that is representing the state has never bargained in the public sector. He is a private sector negotiator, and there are huge differences between the private sector law and the public sector law in the state of Iowa. I believe that has created some difficulties. And quite frankly, his remarks when he presented our proposals was an insult to the hardworking state employees of this state, and that's how the majority of those folks in the room considered that. Anything else?
Do you plan to be silent for the month of January? Will we not hear from you?
You will not hear, as you can ask Rod. Rod and OK have tried to get inside information about bargaining out of me. You will never hear from me about bargaining. This press conference ain't about bargaining. We've discussed processes and issues, but I will not talk in public about what goes on in the bargaining table. Once we enter that room tomorrow, the next time you'll have an opportunity for a public viewing of Iowa's collective bargaining processes, I believe the arbitration hearing is a public hearing. Okay.